Are there any recommended changes to the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes as is?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is public comments. Before we get to public comments, just a point of order for Mr. Eldridge here. Since this is under a public comment point on the agenda, are we just hearing a public comment, or are we actually being asked to review anything formally tonight?
Well, under the code, you do have the planning, PZC does have the responsibility of reviewing the proposed text amendment and reporting back to the council.
I agree, but the fact that it's under a public comment part of the agenda, does that make any difference in terms of what our authority is at this particular time?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Theoretically, you could have amended the agenda to carve that out, but I think the intent here, I didn't put the agenda together, but I think the intent is, because you all don't have a public hearing, it gives an opportunity for the applicants to comment.
Okay. It's just that you generally, if something's on the public comment, we can't make a motion to do anything unless it's on the formal agenda. So would you recommend that we go back and amend the agenda for this, or it just doesn't matter?
Well, if you want to be technical about it, you could entertain a motion to amend the agenda and put that under, I guess, as a new business item and take it out of the public comments. It certainly doesn't do anything wrong.
Okay. I think given the issues related to this, I would like to follow kind of the rules. So I if it's okay with the commission here, I would like to make a motion to amend the agenda and place what we have on public comments, which is a request of text amendment to code of ordinance, as new business.
Second.
Is there a second for that? Okay. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, that means it's going to be a little bit later rather than right at the front end, because it's behind some of the old business. All right, old business, vacation rentals. Data collection. Last time we talked about trying to maybe find out what some other communities were doing related to vacation rentals. I volunteered to look at both Asheville and Fayetteville. This is kind of a general discussion in terms of some of the issues. I'd be glad to start. I sent around something, just passed around. What I found is there's a lot of concern about this in terms of permitting for rentals, either short-term rentals or even long-term rentals. City of Asheville, they clearly are focusing on short-term rental. Recent discussions are also focusing on the room rentals in residential areas through some of the web pages right now. Back last year, they hired Professor Yun, an associate professor who's at UNC Chapel Hill. I believe that Mr. Eldridge actually...
Oh, is that the gentleman that offered that law?
Yes, right. So anyway, they actually hired him to research the issues related to short-term rentals and report back. He reported back in October of 2014. The staff is still working on recommendations of changes to the city council. As you can see right here, I've got a link to a slide. Well, it's actually the report. I mean, it looks like a slide share sort of thing, but it's actually the report. It's basically exactly the same report that we saw earlier that Mr. Eldridge gave us, with the last three pages directly primarily towards the issue at Asheville. The conclusions basically is that a lot of cities are very concerned about this. We are not the only one. A lot of cities are pretty upset because of 2011 changes in the state statutes that really limited the ability of cities to permit things. And according to this, many cities are actually looking at the Cornelius NC option, which I believe that you found, Joe, as possibly a way of addressing this. They formed a short-term rental community committee that's held public meetings. Not surprisingly, there's very strong arguments on both ways, depending who's there, but I do have a link as to the summary from the very last meeting, and it sounds an awful lot like our meeting. But they did have a lot more people that were in favor of it. So I think that there's a lot of folks that were particularly upset in the room rental problems that are in residential areas right now. And that seems to be a kind of a driving factor there. So I did check all the agendas for 2015 for the town council and for the planning commission, and there's nothing on the agenda. So, you know, I'm assuming that staff is still working on recommendations and still gathering data. The city of Fayetteville, they take a very aggressive approach. They actually had a permitting process prior to 2011. When you look at the agendas, they were quite upset about the change in the state statutes. Because they're looking at all rentals. Their problem is the large rental market to military-based personnel, so there's a lot of turnover, a lot of lower income type of problems there. So what they did is in 2012, they actually put together what is called the Rental Action Management Program, a very aggressive program, but works within the 2011 state statutes. They state that it has been very successful in cleaning up the problems in Fayetteville, and they also state that there's some proposed changes to the state statutes which are actually going to try to eliminate even the ability to do that, basically saying you can't have any permitting, you know, for short-term rentals at all or any type of rentals. So they're actually, and it's right there in the agenda, they're being very aggressive trying to lobby against that particular perspective. So they are really probably the leaders in the state right now in terms of trying to allow permitting. But they do have to work within the state statutes. So again, they had a permit process. They had to change it to the state statutes. Their very quick summary right here is that they do follow the rule. The city will fine landlords $1,000 for a property that violates three or more code violations in 1 year. Or as part of the top 10%, that's right out of state statutes. What they do is they look at police calls and crimes. They do a crime analysis that's conducted every half year by the police department to determine rankings. But they also specify overgrown lots, unsafe buildings, junk vehicles are also violations that can be included in the program. When a property enters the program, the property must be free of violations for 1 year, or the owner will not be allowed to rent the property for a year. So as you can see, they're very, very aggressive in this. What I did is I cut and paste the actual ordinance. We don't need to go through this, but I've got about 6 pages of the actual ordinance. That is their rental action management program. So those are the two cities that I've kind of volunteered. They've taken, they have different issues. I mean, they're both a permitting process, different issues, and both at different stages in terms of trying to address this type of problem. So
my research, I found that Raleigh, Charlotte, and Durham also had a permitting process. Of course, the 2011 Vacation Rental Act kind of did away with that. Durham still does, I didn't do a printout, but my notes, they have this three minimum violation thing for a year. So they're, the city of Durham is being aggressive like Fayetteville in regarding to keeping up with the code violations. And if you have them and you're identified with three code violations, you have to get those cleared for 1 year, be fined, or you will not be able to rent your property.
Okay, so of the three that you looked at, Durham is the one that's been most aggressive?
Yes.
That's me. Okay. Anybody else get a chance to look at?
I did some contact in Eatonton, and they're really not addressing it.
They're not addressing it, okay. Joe, did you get a chance to look at it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further discussion? Recommendations. I mean, I don't think there's anything really pressing right now, but I think it's a very appropriate. We're gathering data to see what other communities are doing, because this is an issue. Obviously, it's an issue in terms of the kind of the traditional short-term rentals, and I think as the individual room rental B&B type of approach comes in even more aggressively, that it's going to become more of an issue. So, you know, I think it's great that we're gathering the data and just thinking about these issues. Now that we've made a recommendation to the town council. Is there a motion to, discussion?
Under the whole thing of vacation rental and data collection, one of the, you know, sub-paragraph two there is identify nuisances as violations. I did tried to do some research on nuisances. You know, I'll just read what they say. The definition is a legal action to redress harm arising from the use of one's property. Two types of nuisances are private nuisance or public nuisance. Private nuisance is a civil wrong if it is unreasonable, unwarranted, or unlawful use of one's property in a manner that substantially interferes with the enjoyment and use of another individual's property. without an actual trespass or physical invasion of the land. Public nuisance is a criminal wrong. It is an act of omission that obstructs, damages, and inconveniences the rights of the community. And then it goes into a little bit more. The only North Carolina statute that I could find, and granted, that is a big book, has to do with nuisances resulting, it's Chapter 19, offenses against public morals. And then there's several pages about what constitutes pornography and lewd material and lewd acts and all of that as a type of nuisance that could be used for anything. I mean, it is a nuisance. And the property that would be done on can be held sometimes criminally liable or a nuisance to the surrounding. Like, you could not use your home to run a publishing company for lewd magazines and things like that. But the only Carolina statute I could find dealing with nuisances had to do with the moral issue.
And again, I didn't want to go through, you can read the Fayetteville, but they have, and I made this really small print, it still was 10 pages. They have a lot of issues related to disorderly conduct, so they've got a whole bunch of stuff. They've set up a review panel. Obviously they're looking at police issues, but people can also get into the program by simply having neighbors file a complaint. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Again, Fayetteville is very, very aggressive.
You get in trouble.
Yeah, and they try. I mean, they have people going around. Also, they involve the planning and building code people. So if they go around, they see things that are unsafe, junk vehicles in the yard. They'll keep track of that. So it's more than just simply a report to the police. They do use report to the police, but they also, as you read this, they define disorderly conduct. They define the risk associated with disorderly conduct, the levels. There's a hearing. It's a whole bunch of stuff like that, as well as some of these other issues. So, again, you do see very different. But there's one thing that I have found over the last, week or so when I was looking at this a little more aggressively, is that there are a lot of communities concerned about this, but they're all in different stages in terms of what they've developed and how aggressive they plan on being, and whether they're looking at all rentals or simply short-term rentals. So, is there a motion to table this item? I think we've done a lot of work on it. I think we're kind of in a holding mode on this. From what I've heard from the council is that they are looking more aggressively at the room occupancy tax issue, which is a big issue. But in terms of this sort of thing, unless there's a general feeling that we want to pursue and start thinking about this, perhaps writing something, I would suggest that we simply table this item until it comes up again or one of the commissioners want to bring it up.
In our minutes, it says the council from last meeting requested that we look into what other communities are doing regarding to permitting. So do you plan as our chair to present something?
Well, that's a good point. The council did ask us to come back to them about how to address this issue. So maybe rather than tabling the item, we should keep it on the agenda and think about how we may want to present it back to the council. Maybe do a little bit more research on it. Come up with some recommendations as to how we want to track this. If we want to track it, and maybe write up something for the council. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that. They did ask us to come back to them with a way of tracking and measuring this and a recommendation related to that.
Mr. Chairman, may I comment?
Yes.
One thing your code provides for, or regulates, prohibits, whatever you want to call it, nuisances. One of the concepts you were thinking about when you were thinking about a short-term, one approach was an ordinance regulating rentals as opposed to a permitting process. And at that time, you thought about whether or not other nuisances directly related to those transactions should be added to the list of nuisances. And the ideal way to track it is through code enforcement and police. So you have the wherewithal to make a recommendation if you felt like it. All the tools are there. But of course, that's council's call.
Well, then what I would suggest, I'll kind of withdraw my suggestion of tabling it. I suggest we just keep it on as old business till our next meeting, and this time kind of think about how we want to recommend to council, you know, how to track these things, you know, possibly just using police and code enforcement. Again, Fayetteville, they ask the police department once every 6 months to go and do an analysis of this and then, you know, rank the properties. Yes?
Mr. Chairman, maybe I shouldn't say anything, but I'm going to throw my 2 cents in. This thing is in the legislature being bounced back and forth, and something's going to come. We don't know when,
right,
but something will come that will define the idiocy of the state. You've got, like, when you're dealing with Fayetteville, and you're dealing with Durham, you're dealing with these large cities that have all of these regulations, you've got to remember, they have tremendous slum areas.
Mm-hmm.
They've got tremendous pornographic problems.
Right.
Sex and all that. Jerry Beach is very unique. We don't have that problem, thank God.
That's why I wanted to look at Asheville. In
the only thing the council is really interested in more than anything else is what they should have specified, really, with etched in stone. I want to know how to catch these yahoos that are renting their damn property without paying ROT.
Absolutely. And when I presented that to the council last time, that was one of the two things. And I think the council has acted upon that and continues to act upon that. That's why I think at this particular time, even though they asked to come back with a set of recommendations, I mean, there is a state statute that does allow us to track based upon violations to the police and things like that, the top 10% or things like that. So we can certainly do something very, very simple and simply ask the police department to, once every 6 months, you know, do an analysis of, you know, where the complaints have been and then get a... I mean, it should be pretty simple for them to do that, actually.
They can do it in one sentence.
Yeah. So, anyway, what's the pleasure of the commission of this?
Well, I do think we owe the council an official response from our organization, our commission, to say we've looked at this. The attorney has spoken. We have the wherewithal to track that data if you want to use it. Back to Mr. Andy's comment, I don't think any of the violations are going to make the ROT go way up, because we're going to have onesie-twosies in this community, and that means a person or an owner has got to have a minimum of 3 violations within a year's period. And
or be in the top 10%. That's what they do. So when they rank these things, they just take the top 10% and said that if you're in the top 10%, you're in this program, you have to have a permit.
So you could have 5, or you could have a number that all have 1. So they would all be in the top 10%. And my gut feeling is that's not very many people. Once those are identified, you do have the right to ask them or make them sign a permit that they're abiding by the rules of rental. Mr. Blazinski.
Yes. As council liaison, as I was thinking about what you're talking about, I think it's a very slippery slope, only from this perspective. I can rent my place for a week. I can have one renter who violates things in 1 week. Is it? And shut me down for the year. Now, would that be is it 3 violations from 3 separate renters? Or, I say it's a slippery slope, because you could really make this thing.
What the state statute said is that, because they wanted to get, and this clearly was a very large lobby effort by a group to get this ordinance or this statute changed. But what it does allow is you can force somebody to be a permit, and there's associated fines and things like that if they have 3 or more violations, but it requires that the city have an ordinance that specifies what constitutes a violation related to this. So that's why Fayetteville does it more than simply crime statistics. They talk about junk cars and disorderly conduct, and so they have an ordinance that specifies all these things. other people can just simply say crime statistics. You know, I mean, but you have to have an ordinance as a town. And obviously some towns completely ignore this issue. But, you know, under the state statutes, you can have an ordinance. Once you have an ordinance on how to define and measure these sort of things, then they have two options, two paths by which people would get into the program. One, three or more violations to those ordinance that define that. Or you just calculate all the ordinances or all the violations within a particular community, and you take the top 10%. And they would go in. But that means the other 90% wouldn't. So it either, I mean, technically you could be in the bottom 90%, but if you have three or more, you could still be in the program. So.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, well, sure.
Why don't we send to council, it's the beginning of our rental season now.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we use this as the summer that, in October, say in October, we request to get a
police report?
A police report and a report from the code enforcement on violations with the addresses in the houses and see where we go. See, we're not going to be able to do anything with a permitting process until we have actually proof of, do we have five houses that are violating things? Do we have one house that's violating things? So those are all the things that came up at the public hearing.
I would, just as Michael, I think that maybe we need a subcommittee to develop a straw man, if you will, to have this committee discuss it next time, so you can put a recommendation forward in July to the council.
Yeah. I don't think it's asking a lot of the police department or the town to give a report at the end of the...
Chief Cooper said he had no way to really pull that report because it just... Yeah, they would have done it if it's commercial or rental properties, if it's a short-term rental or someone living there year-round, they'd have no way to kind of filter it down.
How does he collect, I mean, does he have violations in a, like a database that he could sort on different categories?
I'd speak to them again to get more clarification. But he said he would have no way to know if it was a year-round, someone lived here year-round, if he's recalled to the property, but it was someone for the weekend.
See that,
but you have the violations against the property.
The violations against the property.
That I'll tell you, that is exactly another reason why we made a recommendation that there should, for each rental property, there should be a separate file on case with the county, because then you could cross-reference that. You could cross-reference the addresses out of the police report against the people that are on file with having a rental property, and make sure it's not residential versus rental. So I mean, all this stuff ties together. That's
a good
point. I'll
speak with them again to get more clarification. Yeah, how we can filter it.
John, real quick, do you keep track at all other type of violations? Like,
yes.
Would it be something that you could sort pretty easily, or is it all hand stuff?
You mean sort it? Whether or not it's a vacation rental?
Or the type of violations that would be associated with a vacation rental?
Yes, I can look at that.
I don't think it's going to be really hard to. You can pretty much drive up and down the beach and know which ones are.
I agree.
Rental, rental.
I agree.
Not by the address. I mean, it's only so big. We're not that big a community.
You can just get on some of the websites and you know which properties. They don't list the addresses, but they show the picture. You know exactly what they are.
I don't think it's that hard to figure out.
I mean, that's the violations that I have addressed with them, by the way.
Yeah.
I know it's a rental. I'm calling a rental agency and saying, look, trash can still up by the road, you need to bring them in and make sure they're brought in. Friday nights or Tuesday mornings.
Do you want to make a motion that, you know, and we just ask come October for the police department, not ask them to do anything additional things right now, but simply with the data they're already collecting, see what they can put together and see what it actually looks like. I mean, we're not trying to add additional work, but if they can put together a report in, you know, a half an hour work or something like that, say October, I think that would add a lot of value to see what we could actually do in terms of this. Want to make a motion?
Sounds like a motion to me.
So all right. Well, would we be asking the council to request the police department and the building inspector?
Yeah, I can certainly present that to the council as a recommendation, so they formally request.
Right.
I mean, that's I don't see a problem with that.
Okay,
there's a motion that in October that we ask both the police chief, police department, as well as the building inspector to compile a list of violations that we could analyze to see if we could use that information as part of the permitting process under the state statutes. Is that okay?
I would maybe expand it a little bit to say the motion is we're going to ask the council to request that that data be collected for July, August, September, and report out in October. Not just, you can't go to somebody in October and say, give me all your data. They may not have kept it the way we want it kept.
Okay. That's a different motion, so we're going to have to do this properly. Okay, so because that requires additional work, we have to tell them what to collect, where your motion is not additional work. They're already collecting data to see what they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they know they have to collect data. Right. And give us a report in October, right. Then they're probably going to...
Where you push it back to November, see if it Blues and Jazz Festival in October.
Okay, I just want to make sure there's
a couple... You don't have a second in motion yet.
No.
I seconded it.
Okay. There was a second on the first, but I just rephrased it, so there was a second. Joe seconded the first one. There is another motion on the table to amend that prior motion. Is there a second to the amendment? Okay, the amendment, which is your motion, that requires us to define...
I second that, too.
Okay, you do second that. Okay. All right. So there's a discussion on the amendment to the original, which is to tell the police chief and the building inspector what data we want collected. We need to discuss that, and then we'll have a vote. Is there a discussion? My only discussion is I think normally that's a great idea, but then we'd have to really get into this. I don't think at this point we want to ask them to... go through additional effort to, collect different types of information. I don't know what the expense would be, but I'm kind of afraid to ask them to do additional work at this time, other than simply compile what we're asking. But that's my opinion. Your opinion?
I kind of agree. I think we should just ask them to compile the violations for.
Okay, we got our swing vote here. What's the swing vote?
Well,
or swing discussion. I mean, I don't have a vote yet, but swing discussion.
I still believe that we need to do something in advance of that, like develop some sort of procedure so we know we're going to do with that data.
Well, I think we have to have the data first before we can even... It could be very minimal. It could be nothing.
Okay.
I didn't mean to create a lot of work, meaning... John, as building inspector, has got to go out and search for more code violations. I know he collects that data, but I think he should know today that in October we're going to ask him for all the data that he has generated. Not create any more. Code violations are code violations. Same with the police. When they have a violation, it's written down. But I think the police chief would like to know that in October he's going to be asked for 4 months' worth of violation data.
What exactly are you going to do with that data when you get it?
Yeah, and that's what Bill's talking about.
I mean, we can talk it to death all we want. I can tell you what the issues are. We'll talk about those to death also. So, I mean, where are we going with this?
Well, right now we're just debating... In October or November, we're just simply going to ask for some sort of a consolidated report looking at your data and police data and then figure out what to do from that point.
Okay.
The amendment that's being discussed right now is that we should tell you what data to collect right now. Okay, so it's a little bit different, but I think it's a fundamental thing where we're asking...
Well, I think the main thing that you're asking for is whether or not it's a rental property.
Well, the types of violations and then the ranking of some of them, what those violations are.
We already know what the type of violations are. We just need to know.
Right, but we don't know the ranking of what properties are having more or less. That's what we're talking about in October.
Greg, I didn't mean to expand the list or the definitions of the ordinances and the nuisances and the violations. I just meant... We're going to ask the council for permission to get this data in October. And the people that are collecting it are already collecting it, but they ought to know that in October they're going to have this report to do.
That is
so. I'll take mine off the table.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do this the correct way. There's a the maker of the motion has asked to take it off the table. The second has to agree to that. Okay, who seconded that?
Joe? I agree to that.
Okay, all right. Then there's no issue. It's off the table. All right. Discussion then, and I think the original discussion captures actually what you were saying. Any further discussion on the original? Well, actually, I'm sorry. There was a motion to change that original motion from October to November. Mm-hmm. Is there a second to that motion? To November? I'll second that.
Okay. We had two amendments.
Yes, we did. We had, no, I'm following the procedure on this. Okay.
Okay,
the original motion had we're going to meet in October and ask in October. Then we got into the discussion of the data, but somebody had mentioned November. I forget who it was. Joe, I think Joe said November. So that has not been seconded. Okay, is there a seconded to change the original motion?
You just seconded it.
You're right. Okay. Is there further discussion on changing the original motion from October to November? Okay, hearing none, is there all in favor of changing the amendment of changing the original from October to November, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, now we're going to have a discussion on the original amendment, or not amendment, but the original motion. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So that means in November we will ask the motion is I'm going to go to the council and say that this is our recommendation that in November we will collect the data from the building inspector and the police department and then examine this issue back at that particular time. Okay. All right. Item B, duplexes, parking space issue. John, I think that's yours, isn't it?
Where we left that last month was Alan and I were going to get together and talk about different ways that we could change those parking regulations, possibly using square footage of the units to govern how many parking spaces they would need. I have not had an opportunity to meet with Alan about that yet, so if we could table that to the next meeting, I'd appreciate it.
Is there a motion table?
Soon.
Okay. Alan, do you second that?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item C, planning in the right-of-way. I forget who actually asked us to look at this.
I thought that was already done.
That was what?
I thought that was taken care of.
This month?
Not last month.
Shouldn't be on the agenda. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't realize there was a permitting process, all that stuff. That was taken care of last
month. Okay, all right. So that's a... All right, new business. We now have the request of text amendment to code of ordinances. The applicant is Richard and Ann Lawry?
Lawry.
Okay. Since this is actually the regular agenda item, we should ask our staff before we hear the public comment on this. Staff, do you want to kind of explain what this is, John?
The Lawrys have requested a text amendment to a certain section of our code. That section is 19-329. They have requested wording change only. You should see that in a staff recommendation from me that's dated on May 6th. The Longs are requesting the addition of fireplaces into a list of architectural features that are allowed to extend into the setback. And they've also requested that fireplaces extend not more than 24 inches into the required side yard setback on a corner lot. In my staff recommendation, I changed the wording that they proposed and tried to make it more rounded and more applicable to our ordinances, and it still creates or still accomplishes what they've asked to be amended. And so if you look at my recommendation, you can see the current ordinance at the top. And if you look just below, you'll see the changes in the additions in red. And that is my staff recommendation.
Okay, so you're recommending adoption of the text amendment with your amendments. That's staff recommendation.
I'm recommending adoption of the amendment that I've made, yes, sir.
Okay. Not, no, okay, the ones in red is what you're talking about,
yes,
is recommending, okay. All right, would you like to make some comments? And to do it formally again, probably need to get up there. I actually probably don't have to get up there, but it's useful so we can get into the tape recording. And you need to say who you are and your location.
I'm Ann Lawley. We live at 704 Seacastle Court, Wilmington. We built a house at 242 North 3rd Avenue about 2.5 years ago, and we have not been able to occupy the house because we were told after we thought we were signed off, had power and everything, that we were too far into the setback with the fireplace, which is cantilevered on the second floor. I wrote, and you all can read, and of course John has already read part of it, but you know, the reason we're asking for this, and so, you know, I mean, I don't have to go through all of it. I don't know that I need to if you all are, have copies of what I wrote and are reading it. We'd like to get it resolved. I'm 77 years old, and my husband's 82, and I don't want to live the rest of my life worried about a house. I'd like to move into it, or at least get it where I can sell if I can't sell the one I'm living in. I don't need two houses. I don't really understand what John's asked for. As my understanding, he is saying that he thinks it's okay the way I've done the request for the text amendment.
Generally speaking, I rewrote what you wrote to where it matched ordinance better, but yes, it would match what you
said. I know there's some tweaking need to be done with the wording I had, but I've not up on all that, so I basically said what we wanted.
If you'd like for me to, I can read exactly what I'm recommending.
You might want to read it into the record, yes.
Section 19-329, modification of required yards. Architectural features such as fire escapes, fireplaces, cornices, eaves, steps, gutters, buttresses, open or enclosed fire escapes, outside stairways, balconies, and similar features, but not carports or porches, may project not more than 18 inches into any required yard. On corner lots, architectural features may extend 24 inches into the required 10-foot side setback.
So that's basically what I was asking for, just
move some words around.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know whether I need to say anything else. If you want to ask me questions, I'll be glad to answer them, but I gave you some pictures that show that it's just a small portion of the side of that house. It certainly doesn't keep anybody from being able to see down the street or at the stop sign or anything else. It doesn't impede team health and safety, emergency vehicles, anything like that. I certainly go along with it. Shouldn't be somewhere that it does that. We're just asking you to adopt this ordinance so that we can leave that fireplace as it is and move into that house.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Lawler or Ms. Lawler?
And my husband will be glad to ask questions. Yeah. I fear better than he does. So.
Any questions?
Awesome.
Okay. We have two members of the legal community with us. Are there any comments from the town attorney on regarding this?
Prove it so we can get this thing over with, please.
Okay. I had to ask. Okay.
Staff sounds like they're comfortable with it, and their revisions incorporate what the applicants want and seems consistent to me.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there a motion? I'm sorry. Let's back to discussion. Go ahead.
So now it's just corner lots.
Only on corner lots.
Only on corner lots, but it's going to allow all of the architectural features that are described.
Yes.
Okay, the reason for the 10-foot setback on corner lots is because of site or?
Yes, sir.
I know in this situation, the fireplace is up high, so it really doesn't affect that. But if you have houses that are built on crawl space or on raised slab, you're going to allow fireplaces, stairways. So you could basically fill up that side of that house with a stairway, a fireplace, and all of those architectural features, and encroach into that 10-foot setback.
Worst-case scenario, I see what you're saying. I mean, obviously, I'm going to look at the intent of the ordinance and make a judgment call based on that. I don't think we'll have anybody that tries to put in a fireplace, a fire escape, and a stairway on that side corner, but I guess anything can happen.
Well, that's what I'm just thinking. That's, you know, the reason for the 10-foot is the public safety.
And you'll see that's the only issue that I foresee is that it's going to affect someone's view at some point in some area. Not particularly in this case, but it can come up later.
But, well, that's the thing. I mean, we change an ordinance, we change it for everybody. We don't just change it for this one.
That's correct.
We're adding basically 6 inches to it. It's already 18 inches, isn't it? But excluding fireplaces, but other things could extend 18 inches. So now we're just including fireplaces in addition to these things, and we're allowing 24 inches into a side setback for corners. So it's really adding only 6 inches in the specific case of a corner lot into a side setback versus the existing 18 inches, and we're allowing fireplaces, which weren't allowed previously.
Mm-hmm. I think what you'll end up seeing more often than not are third-floor porches and balconies. Third floor balconies being cantilevered over on that side yard more than anything. That's already happening.
That was my only issue. I don't really think it's all that big of an issue because it is in the 10-foot setback, it's not on the 5-foot setback.
Any further discussion? All right. Is there a motion
to approve?
Motion to approve. Okay. Is there a second? Any further discussion on the motion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So this is a recommendation to the town council. Okay. Since this is an ordinance.
It still goes before council.
It's got to go to town council, and because this is an ordinance change, it technically has to go to public hearing also. So there has to be a public hearing sometime in the future.
Okay, that's more or less what was in my letter.
That's right.
I just
want to
make sure it's
still.
July
21st. Talking for 15 minutes.
And I'm assuming we need to be prepared.
Okay. No other new business. We have member items.
Excuse me, Chairman.
Yes.
We need a consistency statement, don't you?
Oh. Yes, we do. Yes, we do need a consistency statement, yes. Do we have a consistency statement written?
Yes.
I think it's in the
application.
I didn't see one.
But there's space right there. Look at the last section.
Oh, it's up here. Oh, okay, I see. Okay. All right, so we have a consistency statement, which now we have to do for any of these ordinance changes or change, and new ordinances. So we have a consistency statement that somebody kindly wrote for us. So I guess we need a motion to have it read into record as a motion and needs to be seconded and voted upon. So is there any discussion before we make a motion to pass the consistency statement? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept the consistency statement? Yes, I'm sorry.
On the consistency statement, it says the agenda item. I think that needs to be corrected. Actually, it is correct already.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm.
Never mind.
Okay. Well, we can talk for a lot longer. I'm not sure if anybody wants to walk out that. All right. Is there a motion to approve the consistency statement?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye of the consistency statement.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And do I think I need to sign this on it? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and I have to see the page right here.
Okay. All right. Other member item. The only thing I think is suggested is that many times in the past we have not held our July meeting because it's summer and I'm not sure if we have a lot of activity going on in July and things like that. Does anybody anticipate anything that we haven't talked about already? Is it going to be something on July?
The CV property is planning on coming with their final plat.
Okay.
To our July meeting.
Okay.
I told him that she may possibly be rescheduling the meeting for a week later than what is scheduled for right now. But they are planning on coming for a final plat recommendation in July.
Okay. All right.
I have to be out in August. Anyway, if you want to,
we can
take
okay.
The August month. Does it?
All right. Well, we could decide that in July then. So it doesn't sound like we're going to cancel July. So July will be our regular meeting as scheduled then. Okay.
July 1st.
All right.
Schedule that a week.
I mean, we can. I'll be in Italy the following week, though.
All right.
Sorry.
I'll be in Colorado.
So. Probably do July 1st is the best time.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Okay. In August, I'll be in India.
Okay. All right. Any other member items? All right. Hearing none, is there a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second? Second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good.
I'll take up the ISIS crisis.
The what?
ISIS crisis.
No. We could. Yeah, we could do that. We can talk about offshore drilling. See, what else can we do? Fracking? We'll figure out fracking too, okay?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, they talk about the trade deal. Let's talk about the recommendation for getting to the trade.